people, although he is very interesting and popular still. Maybe you met the last real U.S. President and so on. So just go and get a glass of water just to avoid this. After, give me half a minute, please.
Yes, of course. Well, I can only say that the experience that Hans and I had at that ferry, that was one weird experience, to say the least. I want to say, though, that this is a year where so many things are happening and changing, and people are waking up, also in the forces, also in the military, also in the police, also in the SWAT teams, and also in Gladio, and the people involved in these, like the Ghost Army, Stay Behind, Gladio, it's got many different names. And recently I've been contacted by people in these forces as well that has contacted me, saying that they have been duped as well. They have had no idea how they've been manipulated with and how they've been used in very ugly ways. And they're also in the process of waking up, informing themselves about what's going on. So, well, good times ahead. Anyway, Hans, please continue.
Yeah, I'm back. So I started with the mafia, and now you have mentioned Knights of Malta. So then we have two very important parts of the puzzle. So who are below the Knights of Malta? That is the CIA. And this guy... this mafia boss, Sam Giancana, he had, I think, a half-brother or a nephew called Chuck Giancana. And these mafia people, they are some sort of peculiar individuals. They don't write down things, but they have like memory as elephants. And particularly, they remember names. And in a way, between them, it's natural for them to be honest, but they expect things never to get out. So there was one night when Sam Giancana, he got so embarrassed about the lack of knowledge of his nephew, half-brother Chuck. He did not understand that the CIA are much worse than the CIA, so he just spoke to him like 2 hours, his role in the Kennedy assassination. And the Giancana cooperation with the CIA, setting up the shooters in Dallas and so on. So this was published after his death, and this Chuck Giancana was not part of the mafia. So that is a very important source of evidence. But that is only one part of the puzzle. But it's like regarding the crime scene, who were the hitmen? They were, of course, the Chicago mobsters, and that's in a way known. But what was the motive of Giancana? It was that after Kennedy was elected, he chose his brother Robert as the Minister of Justice, Secretary of Justice, and his first priority was to try to start fighting the mafia. And some kind of, he thought that was very ungrateful. Hey, now I had to become president. And now his JFK is thanking him by fighting him and making his business much worse and so on. So that gave a motive for, but you can't expect so much from these mafia people. They are used to having enemies, and sometimes they kill them, sometimes they do other things. And sometimes they just don't care. So, but Samuel Khan alone was not, of course, capable of making the assassination. A much more powerful hidden hand had to be put into place. So, what were the motives? And who gave the go-ahead for the Kennedy assassination? I come up to like 6 motives. Kennedy wanted to remove the Federal Reserve because it's parasitic. And it's treason, and he wanted to who are in top of the Fed? That's the Jesuits. Kennedy wants to reduce the power of the CIA, who are on top of the CIA. The TSA did not like it, not the most are below. And here comes an important motive. Kennedy did not want the war in Vietnam. But there is the commander of the Knights of Malta, in the days of Kennedy, was called Francis Spellman. He was a very iron fist, very mean guy, camouflaged as a Catholic cardinal, which was like ideal. We can say the devil in camouflage as a sheep, something like that. So then you have a motive from those who wanted the war in Vietnam. And the war in Vietnam, I am a bit given it went the way it went. Why has that not been given more focus as the motive for why Kennedy was killed? Because even the very first day after the death of Kennedy, what happened then? The CIA director John McCain went to the White House, signed a secret document which reversed the Kennedy decision to withdraw from Vietnam. And I have a photo of the U.S. commander in the Vietnam, General Westmoreland, quite young, not so quite in way young, but he's a knight of Malta. And at one of his press conferences, behind him is the U.S. Flag and the flag of the Knights of Malta. So I have another photo over from Vietnam, killing field, where General Westmoreland meets his superior in the Knights of Malta, Francis Spellman. So this was the Vietnam War was wanted by the Knights of Malta, both as some sort of crusade because the Vietnamese were very Buddhists, and some sort of ritualistic mass murder, human sacrifice, which is napalm and other proofs of that. So this Cuba thing, I cannot see anything. It had nothing to do with the Kennedy assassination. It was just a decoy, to hide the real perpetrators. So there was also another issue, motive, which was that Kennedy wanted to go public with the so-called extraterrestrial disclosure. He wanted to tell the American people and the world that there had been extraterrestrial visits to the U.S. and that this information had been kept hidden so far. And I have some proof, which I have not published, but it seemed it was the case that on Dallas, the very same day Kennedy was murdered, he was going to have a speech, which would be his extraterrestrial disclosure speech, because the manuscript was found in the car with some blood on it and so on, by this guy who was in his car, Governor Connolly or something, who survived. And then it was kept in the box because it was too hot to handle, and the guy who had the box, he died, and then it was moved on and so on. So then you had three strong motives for the murder of Kennedy, or four if you take this little guy, Sammy Akama, into the picture. It was he wanted to dismantle the Federal Reserve. He wanted to go against the CIA. He wanted less war in not war in Vietnam, and he wanted to go public with extraterrestrial life, and also the mafia felt the double crossed, which is the title of the book of some over this Czech Giancana.
Okay.
So here we have the
Hans. Why don't we play a song and give you a chance to breathe and have a little pause, and then we'll get back and you can continue.
Fine. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
It's time for John Legend and the Roots. Wake up, everybody! John Legend and the Roots. Which I think is a great idea. This is the time to wake up. I know that there's a lot of talk about Kennedy in the chat room today. Please feel free. I'm sure Hans is more than willing to answer any questions, and if I can help as well, I would be happy to. But Please, Hans, continue, please.
Yeah, hi, I'm still awake. So we were into these motives, and so then you have the here comes the conspiracy word between the CIA, where like the technical organizers of the Kennedy assassination, but they were on the orders of Cardinal Spellman. Cardinal Spellman was in a way the major guy behind the Kennedy murder. And Giancana, what was his role? He had a motive. He wanted to get rid of Kennedy and his brother and get to have a free hand for his mafia business and so on. So what could he do? He could supply some shooters because the mafia has to good snipers. So who were the shooters? Downtown Dallas. We have two Chicago people like Jackie Nicoletti and Richard Kane. They were shooting from the books depository. Maybe one of them was in the Caltex building. So, but there were also others, because you have Roscoe White. He was had recently started in the Dallas police, and he was actually a CIA guy, and he was at the Grassy Knoll behind the fence there. And he was together with a mafia guy called James Files. James Files is actually still alive, I think, and he's in prison. And James Files is stating that he was the guy who killed Kennedy, but I think James Files missed. I don't think he hit him. He hit the president. It's some sort of technical evidence. So that he, as a mobster, he could not admit that he didn't hit. Maybe actually he thinks he hit him. But so the whole Dealey Plaza was full of snipers, and as some sort of backup, we had the driver of the Kennedy car, the Kennedy limo. He was the left-handed shooter, and there's the video we can see. The left-handed driver, William Greer, is shooting Kennedy with a pistol which makes no sound. And the U.S. whistleblower, William Cooper, he is at an interview where he has said he has read the file about the technical details regarding the gun that of William Greer, who made the fighter fatal, who fired the fatal shot that killed Kennedy. After that shot has been fired, we see Jackie Kennedy, instead of taking care of her wounded and dying husband, She moves back on the car, and that was because she would be killed next, because she saw the driver shoot her husband. So then you've been into the crime scene, and then who are the major perpetrators? And actually, if we look at this as the some sort of ordinary crime, which is, of course was not, but within the field of criminology, there is something that which says that the victim and the perpetrator are often people who know each other. So I have, like in the DVD, I display photos of different people who Kennedy are together with. We have Alan Dulles, CIA. Dulles was fired by, he's very powerful. He was a member of Knights of Malta. He was fired by Kennedy. He was one of the organizers. We have John McCone. So I have a photo of Kennedy with McCone and Alan Dulles in the car. I know he met Sam Giancana in person, but I don't have a photo of the two of them together. I have a photo of President Kennedy with Cardinal Spellman at Nixon also, at the so-called Al Smith dinner, the autumn before he was elected. And then you have a very little known CIA small member called James G. Angleton. And James G. Angleton, he was the cover-up for the extraterrestrial presence on U.S. soil, which Kennedy knew about and wanted to go public with, this betrayal of the U.S. people and their resources and truth and all these things. So then, so he was also, because that was the major motive also for the Kennedy assassination. And then it's like, if you stick to mafia talk, who gave the go-ahead? And for the go-ahead was made by the Jesuit general in Rome, the Black Pope, whose name then was Johnson's. So, because Cardinal Spellman could not start to organize the assassination of his own without receiving like a command, as it is there, but which is actually an acceptance of the plan to go ahead and kill President Kennedy. So we have then four members of the Knights of Malta. We have one Jesuit general, and we have one like small guy from the street, the powerful Chicago mobster Sam Giancana, as far as I'm concerned, he was the only one who spoke honestly about his role and what actually happens. So that's why I see him as a quite credible witness. And so there are two books, which is made as sources, if you put them together. You have the Double Cross, written by Chuck Giancana, and you have the Vatican Assassins by Eric Phelps, who is a friend of mine. He knows very much about the powerful Knights of Malta and Jesuit structures. And on the front of his book, you see Kennedy, you see Cardinal Spellman, you see the Black Pope, and you see these other guys who were at the major organizing site, which makes Giancana, he was like not small potatoes, but he surprised the shooters, and he had the motive, but there were much stronger forces who did this. And one important proof on that is that there has been a major cover-up, which is going on to this day, to hide the truth about what actually happened with Kennedy and why he was shot and who were behind it up to this day.
Listen, and also Hans, Can I ask you, for people who are not so familiar with the Jesuits, could you explain a little about this group?
They have been around like almost 500 years. They are based in Rome. They are part of the Close of the Vatican. They are hidden within the Catholic Church, but they are a very, very powerful group. They are professional liars and hypocrites acting as monks, while they are actually very cynical, power-grabbing people and assassins. And they have been behind very much of the evil of this planet, not least the last 100 years. They were behind the Nazi party. They were in Stalin, who was a very evil man, who was a Jesuit. So this hidden power, it's time for it to come to the surface, and they are still instructing American presidents what to do. All these presidents like Obama, Clinton, Bush, they go to the Vatican to receive instructions. But the one U.S. president who never put his foot into the Vatican, that was President Kennedy, although he was the only Catholic president of the U.S. And still is. So within this Catholic power structure, he was John Kennedy was labeled like a heretic, which had to be extirpated, which is some power language for assassination. So this book, this part of this book of Sam Giancana, Double Cross, he gives lots of the details, and they can be cross-referenced, which prove that he just told his relative, Chuck Giancana, the things he thought he should know, and he never thought that would become public, including that the CIA had corporations with the Mafia long before the Kennedy assassination. It's also known from this Cuba thing. That is actually important. The dirty dealings between the mob and the CIA, as Giancana once said, it's the two parts of the same coin. And that is the most famous part, because what about Lee Harvey Oswald? He was present at the crime scene. There's this photo of him standing on. On the floor level, street level of the book depository, but he didn't fire anything. So why was he killed shortly after by this Jack Ruby guy? And here comes all this
small details again, which are important to understand the big puzzle. And Chuck Samyakama said that it was the there was a policeman who should have shot Lee Harvey Oswald. Maybe he was labeled Tippit or something. And but he did not have the guts, or he became weak, so he did not kill Oswald, which would have been the plan. And then somebody had to bring Oswald, who was a CIA agent, to silence. And that task was given to Jack Ruby, who was under the command of Sam Giancana. He was operating the Dallas Department on the Chicago outfit, and he had some good contacts within the police and so on. So it was insane that the transfer of the accused, Lee Harvey Oswald, from one prison to another was filmed by the press, and whoever person could enter with a gun and shoot the guy. And actually, they seems that they knew each other also. So there are so many details about this puzzle which might explain why so much of it is still covered in some part or some sort of fog, unfortunately for the American people. And unfortunately, because the real perpetrators and their identities have not yet been made public.
Oh, true, true. This is one of the major mysteries in the latest 50, 60 years. Listen, I would very much like to play one of my own songs. It's called From Prison to Paradise. It's from an album I recorded in the 90s with the same title. And please, if you're interested, listen to the lyrics, because I think they're very much valid to even to this very day. So here it is, From Prison to Paradise. Well, it seems like the theme of the night is wake up, wake up, wake up. I can't repeat it enough. This is the time for all of us to wake up. As some of you might know, I have looked very deeply into the Kennedy assassination as well for some 30 years. And on some areas, I do not agree with Hans. But this is the whole idea, to learn from each other, not being stuck on I'm right, you're wrong. Whatever area it is, let's learn from each other, listen to each other, and together we'll solve this. For those of you who have been waiting for Sam Gardner to come on, I'm very sorry. I have no idea what happened. I hope he's fine and that nothing has happened to him. But hopefully next time. Anyway, please, Hans, continue. And please also give people out your website again so that they can go there and take care of your... I know you've been very deeply involved in solving the 9/11 mysteries as well, chemtrails, many other areas, and maybe you can mention something about that as well.
Yeah, I think we drop chemtrails for now, but since you mentioned the... okay, just to have mentioned it, since you asked them. The website is hansgore.info. It's spelled hansgaardere.info. And if you go under product, there are some a group of English titles there, which also include the Kennedy, his life and his death. So regarding the 9/11 mystery, which it actually still is, I have some inside sources. One of them told me that the Knights of Malta had been involved in the 9/11 terror. So when I have it from an inside source, I go out and I try to find the evidence, because I, as an investigator, I need to have cross references, although a valuable tip from inside source is, of course, something. So, regarding the 9/11, there are two things I just cannot understand why it has not been made more emphasis on. One is the testimony of the transport minister then, Norman Mineta, who was behind, he was in the bunker below the White House with Vice President Dick Cheney on the morning of 9/11. And he said that there was a young guy who came in and asked and told Cheney that the plane is 50 miles out. And then he said the plane is 30 miles out. And then he said the plane is 10 miles out. And then he asked, this young guy asked President, Vice President Cheney, do the orders still hold? And then Cheney whipped his neck and said, of course the orders still hold, or have you heard anything from the contrary? So he just exchanged the word plane with missile. He said, the missile is 50 miles out, the missile is 30 miles out, the missile is 10 miles out. Do the orders still hold? There was a missile heading for the U.S. Defense Department, Pentagon, and the Vice President, cold bloodedly, let it hit, because the Pentagon was hit by a missile. That's the easy evidence to prove. So then we have the Vice President, Dick Cheney, cold bloodedly steering a missile which killed 180 people into the world's best defended building, the Pentagon. That's so mind-blowing that people have problems to grasp it, me too. But this is the testimony of Transport Minister Norman Mineta. It's still on YouTube, and I cannot understand why it has not been made a major issue. There are also another issue looking for nights on Malta, because it's something called the Carlyle Group. They are deep into the military industry complex, deep into advanced technology and weapons. And they are a privately owned company, so they have an annual gathering for their investors once a year. In the year 2001, the Carlyle Group had an annual meeting in Washington, D.C. And the head of the Carlyle Group at that time was Frank C. Carlucci. He was actually the Minister of Secretary of Defense of Ronald Reagan. He's a Knight of Malta, and it's said about him that his ability to keep secrets is hidden in his genes. So there was also another Knight of Malta present at the meeting, George H.W. Bush, George Bush Sr., but he left after the first day, the 10th of September, spent the night in the White House. And so what happened on the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Washington, D.C., where the Carlyle Group were having the annual meeting. So in the morning, before any news of terror had been made, they were gathering as if within the closed meeting room, as if they should watch the Super Bowl on the large screen. But they gathered to watch terror unfold. And it happened, so how did I know it was going to happen? Because they were, the Carlyle Group were handling the hardware. This was very complicated, the taking down of the two Twin Towers. It's very complicated. They were handling the hardware part of it. And this is, so then, first one tower fell, and then the other tower fell, and both went to the dust. And that was, in their view, it was some sort of success. So what actually happened at the Carlyle meeting the whole afternoon, evening on September 11th, was that they were celebrating. They were celebrating a job well done, their mission completed. That was actually so different from all the other reactions of shock and grief and sorrow and fear across the United States. So this was actually broadcast in a Norwegian newspaper. They did not say it was a Carlyle Group, they said it was some sort of people gathered, Republicans, whatever, conservative gathering. They thought it was the fall of the Twin Towers was a good thing for their political purposes. So that was actually the Carlyle Group celebrating their job well done, seeing the Twin Towers fall and knowing that the wave of fear it would provoke with greatly increase their profits. And then already the next year, the profits of the Carlyle Group rose with the 234% or something like that. So here you have Frank Carlucci, early defense minister brought out to get some of the attention he deserved for what he his contributions.
Listen, Hans, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I managed to track this the very same Frank Carlucci and Frank Sturgis, one of the shooters as well, as far as I'm concerned, at Dealey Plaza with the JFK assassination. Both of them, I've been able to connect to the assassination of the Portuguese Prime Minister and Defense Minister in 1980 in a sabotaged plane crash just out the Lisbon. It's like these guys have been so active for such a long time in so many different areas. But we're coming up to the end of the show. The next show is going to be Cancel the Cabal with Stephen Roberts. I just really want to thank you, Hans, for being with us this whole evening and sharing all your knowledge about these things. And I hope it won't be the last time. And maybe we can take another ferry ride to another island where we're welcome one day. Who knows? Don't forget to bring the pasta salad.
Yeah, the chief chef live in an island. I'd like to meet him.
Yeah. No, it's... I think it's always a great joy to be with other people that have devoted their lives to find the truth behind these dark agendas, because it's one thing to talk about these things, it's another thing to really understand that when things like the Utøya thing happened or assassinations and so on, the tragedies that are surrounding them are just so massive, the impact on families and friends and so on, and we really, really need to stop this madness, and the only way to do that is by exposing what's going on. So the work of people like Hans is just so valuable. So I say I honor you, I salute you as a brother and researcher, and I hope we will see a lot of each other in the future.
With thank those you, Bulle, words, and the same to you, and
No, with those words, I just want to repeat your website. It's Hans Gaarder with double A, hansgaarder.info. My website is lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com. And with that, I wish you all a very, very nice evening, night, morning, midday, wherever you are. Have a great life, and let's do this together. Bye-bye.